Good afternoon. It's December the 22nd. It's midday Eastern time in the US and 5 p.m. in the UK. And welcome to the last weekly show of What Comes Next Live. My guest today is my friend Jeff Raker, fellow swim nut and coach and much more besides. And I love the view. This is a virtual background at this time, but it's a picture he took of the view from a close family member's house that he hangs out in quite a lot. And I'm very jealous whenever he's doing video calls with me from there. Hi, Jeff. How are you? Tell us a bit about yourself and let's talk about what comes next today for the last show of the year.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate being able to be here with you. And I look forward to hosting you in this virtual background in real time one day. So, I have a kind of an interesting background, if you will, and don't we all, of how we get to where we are. For 30 years, I've been a pastor of local churches in mainly in Ohio, mainly in Southwest Ohio, and swam in college. When my kids started swimming, I said, I'm not going to sit in a hot auditorium on metal bleachers. I'm going to be an official. That began a decision and a journey where you and I met, as you recall, in Miami, Florida, so I was privileged to be one of the FINA starters for the U.S. for 8 years, and just meeting people and traveling the world and getting to do fun things with our sport. In 2013, I just wanted to increase my leadership and grow myself, and so I got my certification as an executive leadership coach. And that has led to where I am today. So a year and a half ago, we left leading local churches and launched out into our own thing, and working with both business leaders and sports coaches and athletes. It keeps my foot in both worlds, which is fun. I love coming alongside people and helping them see what's next. See what's at their next level. I deliberately chose the background because in some ways, you and I both, we help people see through the fog. Okay. We help people see what's on the next ridge, and you can barely make a mountain peak out behind there. We know it's there. So how do we get there? How do we figure that out? So a privilege to be able to walk alongside people like that help them as my company says, level up their leadership and their lives. So, I think the biggest thing for me that I try to pay attention to with people is helping them really own where they are. You may recall a few months ago in one of our half dozen or less calls a year that we do together to catch up and encourage each other. I mentioned what an early mentor had said, and it kind of stopped both of us yet again. I said, you cannot disown what you refuse to own. That really drives me. To help people really own who they are, own their strengths, own their weaknesses, own who they are. And then we can actually move through it. So being able to sit with someone and sit quietly and let them kind of figure it out as we nudge them along helps them do that. Happened with an athlete, an elite world-class athlete just the other day. When this person, something I had them doing, this athlete came back to me now, you know, a month, six weeks later as we continued sessions and said, I'm not going to think this is such a waste of time from now on. It works. What great joy to help somebody do that.
Something you said right at the beginning of that really stopped me on my tracks. And it's sometimes language patterns will do that. And you talked about coming alongside people. And it's, yeah, it's it. The language that comes to me is that soft and powerful at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. Well, to me, it speaks of, I don't want to be a permanent need necessarily for someone. I'm just a temporary assistant coming alongside. And, you know, certainly I want to work with people for a long time, but really the goal is help you stand on your own two feet, help you, you know, coach you up to a level where you can now do so many things and be reflective and ask great questions of yourself along the way.
That's yeah, it makes me think of a couple of things if I can, you know,
please
with that. The first one is, so there's the distinction between a dependent relationship and an independent relationship. And that a consultant is, to me, as the skill of consulting is an expert you bring in, normally pay, to either teach you or tell you to do something because they're an expert and they know what you don't know. All right. They don't transfer the skill to you. So if you fixed your car, the mechanic is a consultant. Right. You don't get it. You don't stay with them and say, can you teach me what you're doing? So I don't need you next time.
Right.
But coaching isn't about teaching. That's training, and training can create an independent relationship, but it really is an independent relationship in that you're just simply asking questions so people can work it out for themselves. And one of the struggles I've faced going back to swimming as a sport, or it could be any sport, is, oh, coaching, like sports coaching. I'm going, no, not like sports coaching.
Right? Not quite.
Sports coaching is normally, in many cases, certainly at the less elite levels, it tends to be a dependent relationship. And if I look at swimming and I see people at the, I've seen as a referee and starter and official, as you and I have been, we observe those swimmers, you know, at the start of the race. And there are those who are totally in the zone, and there are those who keep looking across their coach.
Right.
Right. And the relationship between the coach and the swimmer is one that they need the coach. Whereas the, you know, I've seen some quite zen coaches. The swimmer will always walk up to the coach afterwards, and the coach will just say, so what went well then?
Yep.
So what was that? What happened in that race? And the asking of questions to enable the person to understand themselves better is a big part of it. And yeah, my last thought for now is that I can't remember who to attribute this, who this quote comes from, but there's the line that the two most important days in a person's life are the day they're born and the day they realize why. Mm-hmm. So this comes down to the
tremendous
sitting alongside somebody, and the why, it could be a very, very deep why. I just got off a call with a long-time client that is never as basically articulated. They want to have that conversation with me. Some people are ready for that. Some people are never ready for that. Some people aren't looking for it. That's a very deep sitting alongside. But sometimes it's just, what do I do next?
Yeah, helping people find that brings great joy. You know, I've probably found you know, since we're talking about what comes next. Certainly, about half my business is with business leaders and half in the sports realm with universities and colleges. And of course, in March, that came to a screeching halt, and it's still not back to where it needs to be. What will it look like down the road? I just spoke with one of my clients, met with them yesterday on a trip, and we don't know. We don't know what it's going to look like. So in March, part of what I did was my why has not changed, coming alongside people. And I also want to expand my network, certainly. And so I started doing some videos. I discovered, because you know how much often a coach learns, right? and I discovered just how much fear there was in me. And you and I talked about that a little bit, about doing these videos. And my wife, who, of 34 years, she looked at me like, you know, what? You can't be afraid. You've spoken for 30 years in front of, you know, dozens or hundreds of people every Sunday. And there was this intense fear. But I think that's normal human nature. There's fear within us in different levels about different things. Mm-hmm. And the more I coach, the more I find that to be the case. I'm working with, seven executives right now with a major automobile manufacturer. And I find the same fears that I find in athletes. Mm-hmm. So it's because we're human beings.
Yes.
I think about the Christmas season. The greatest, the most frequent command in the Bible, fear not. And I think that's a basis for so much of the coaching. You know, what is your fear? What keeps you from that next step? What keeps you from walking through the fog? What is it that stops you? And I love asking that. So the videos that I started doing, as you know, but the audience may not, is I call it the question for today. And it's just a 60-second, minute, 15 seconds, somewhere around there, of just posing a question. Mm-hmm. And it was a way to still continue to come alongside people when I couldn't necessarily come alongside people physically. So that's been a bit of what comes next for me. And it's also now becoming a book. So book is back from the editor, and now I need to work it again. So hopefully, first part of next year, that's what's next for me.
I vividly remember we talked a bit more than our usual every couple of months during the early phases of the pandemic. And I vividly remember coming alongside you as you were getting ready to do the videos. So it's so cool to hear that it's coming in, becoming a book. And something occurs to me around, having been alongside people for well over a decade now doing this. And there is the level of seeing people for where they are, and just sometimes the fear sits with a lack of self-belief. So,
certainly.
And it has to be authentic, but if we come from a position of some degree of credibility from our experience and expertise and go, actually, I see you can do this. Right. And, or in your case, I was actually asking you, much like your wife, and going, okay, Jeff, so you're a really good speaker. You've been doing this for 30 plus years. What's stopping you from filming videos? You know? And I remember I would hope, rather than explicitly saying it too much, but just like showing up in belief. All right.
Yeah.
Showing up that I believe you. Again, we'll often make references to swimming, but it could be any sport. And I remember talking to my good friend, who I introduced you to in Indianapolis last year, Ian Armiger, who was on the show. And I can't remember if it was on the show, it was another conversation we had. And Ian talks about people's personal Olympics. Now, through the program he's run, many, many athletes have made the Olympics. But my oldest son was one of his athletes. And he said he achieved his personal Olympics.
Yep.
And it was not at the same highly elite competitive level, but he achieved his personal Olympics. And
everybody has theirs. Absolutely.
And it's actually seeing what people's potential is in a way that's without limits. Right. Mm. But actually, what can they achieve? And that, to me, that's an element of coming alongside people. Just a thought.
Yeah. It is that. It's that belief. It's that encouragement. I have said to people, for the first session or two, if you need to lean on my faith in you, that's okay.
Well, that's nice. I like
that. That's okay. I can do that. Maybe there's a, in pastoral ministry, often the theme of forgiveness comes up, which is still a great leadership theme as well. But I would often ask people, you know, are you ready to forgive the person that you need to forgive? And a few hands might go up, and I'd say, okay, are you ready to be willing to forgive the person you need to forgive? It's not much. And a few more hands, and then I'd go to the, okay, are you ready for God to make you willing to be ready to forgive? And it's all it takes is just that little bit. And I often come back to that in the coaching and say, you know, trust me. Just lean on me for this moment. Try this, do this, and let's see where it goes. And I think that gives people that firmer footing. One of the things that you and I talk about and that you used in the promo bit was, you know, helping people understand their value as a human being. So often they get so negative. We all get negative about ourselves, and we just sometimes need someone to come alongside us and to encourage us and to really challenge us, about, be it the self-talk or how they perceive themselves. Happened with this car manufacturer, one of the car manufacturer clients just last week, that perceived himself one way, but actually went out and just asked his people. And they're like, no, that's all about you. Really? and it just brought a value to him that helped him go to the next place. And that's another part of what I always try to keep in mind is this person valuing themselves? Or do they think they, you know, like self-care, for instance, huge, right? And swim coaches are terrible at self-care.
Overweight, eat crap food, don't rest.
Right. I said it to a national championship staff the other day. I said, you guys are terrible at that. Yeah, you're right. And so are many, many business leaders. And just being able to say, prioritize yourself so you can be at your best for other people. This is the value. So
I see, I want to go back to something you said at the beginning of that. And it's occurring to me, you and I have known each other a few years now, and you're a man of strong faith. And I refer to myself as spiritual but not religious. And I've always listened to you when you've expressed the impact your Christian faith has for you and for others. So I'm always open and curious and learning that. In one minute, I'm also looking, when you say you want to, you know, put your faith in me, is what you're saying as a coach. And in a way that depressurizes people because they can lean on you for a bit until they feel ready to take on the load.
Yes.
And it just makes me recognize that on a kind of structural way of leading in pastoral care, the same language is used around God.
Yes.
And it's very, so it's, there is this deity that you believe in, that therefore you have another way. So in coaching, it's a way of just managing somebody's energy around how much pressure they can take on board. And then they find they can do it. They go, actually, I can take this on myself. I can take full personal responsibility for it.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of, sometimes my guests are other people who work in coaching in different spheres. And the show can be a bit of a fly on the wall for people to understand the conversations we'll have at a peer level. So that's a bit of it. So to say, put a second bit out there for you is that, first of all, we respond to either or both, but there's a thought for me is I'm writing ahead on my daily post so I can switch off the computer for a few days. And it is Christmas, right, coming up, and that is a Christian festival. And it's different in different parts of the world, but where I live, everything is completely locked down right now. In fact, this news has spread to America that there's a mutant variant of the virus, which we don't know much about. Therefore, there's more uncertainty, but it's spreading faster. So therefore, we're not allowed to mix households. So it's going to be a much quieter Christmas than before. And I was reflecting to you that to me, it may help us reflect on the true meaning of Christmas more than the materiality and ego and who's got more and who's got what and how much food and drink we have on the table. And actually just, get to the very top level. Like, you know, it's all about love, right? At different levels of Greek types of love. But I would love you to, you've been working in coaching in different spheres for a number of years now and segueing from an entire career as a minister. But this is a time of year where I would kind of love you to be able to morph that together and not so much look at what comes next in the future and et cetera, but more about, it's a tough time right now for everybody. It's a particularly tough time. And if you can come alongside all of us right now and feel free to put your ministers, your pastor's hat on, right? But if you could just come alongside us all for a few minutes, what would your, I'm putting you on the spot here. And by the way, remember you're live now, right?
I am live.
So there might be a bit of fear in this, but I believe
in you. Pardon me, okay, Tom.
So speak to your minister to us for a few minutes.
Yeah. You know, it is so difficult, so different. Christmas is about hope. And that hope came in the Christian faith, that hope came in a very different package than maybe was desired or expected. The historical context, the Jewish people were wanting someone to free them from the tyranny of Rome. And yet that's not really what Jesus did. I mean, he did, but it was so much bigger than that. So I think I've discovered, you've discovered, new joys, new opportunities and things we've missed because we got so busy pursuing that which doesn't fulfill. Talking to a coach yesterday that those months when everything was shut down and it's like, I didn't know what having breakfast with my youngest child was like. Because I was always running out of the house to go to practice. What a gift. what a gift. And that in so many ways is that unexpected gift of Christmas. An unexpected way, if we dove into the, all those intricacies in an out of the way town in a cave on the, outside of town, in this manger, in this stall, is born hope. And that's probably the way a lot of people feel right now, is distanced, obviously, physically, but emotionally, mentally. That jobs have shifted and changed. Relationships have changed, right? It's actually put strain on some marriages.
Yeah.
But it's brought others closer. Unexpected gifts. Sometimes we want things in a certain way, from a certain direction. And I think at least part of the message of Christmas from a Christian perspective is, make sure you stop by the wide part of the road and look over where you might not expect something. That's where you're going to find it. So I love the image and the thought that you use of, it is about relationships. It is about people. It's not about how many gifts are under the tree. It's not, it's not all those things. We started when our children were younger. Our youngest is almost 26 now, but we had three gifts for each child because the wise men brought three gifts. And it was just partly a way because we were poor young married couple, but there was a very spiritual undertone that this is not about the gifts. And, maybe that's one of the gifts that 2020 has brought us.
It reminds us it's not about the gifts. Not about the gifts.
It's about something very different. And that's what I am hearing from. I'm hearing that from business leaders. I'm hearing that from sports coaches, that this is part of what I've discovered. A Division I basketball coach that I've re-engaged with, now that they've got some budget clarity. Now, what have you learned this year? Well, we spent a whole lot of time and money doing stuff that either doesn't matter or happened anyways. I think this year, if we'll take the focus off of us and be able to say, what have I learned about me?
Brilliant. So that's a fantastic thought for people to take time, assuming most people will have some time over Christmas.
Yes.
To say, what have I learned? And I was having a conversation today with
one of my latest videos, by the way. What have I learned about myself? And just in case.
But it has been a sort of experiment in change, like your Division I basketball coach. And I had a conversation today with a leader who's looking to bring something back that didn't happen this year, right? A major national event. And he said he was looking to say, well, how can I get the powers that be to authorize it? And he says, because it will bring back hope. And I said, it was interesting, but I think that for me in that particular context, there's a similar word to hope, which has been lost in some way, which is confidence. Because things will come back, humans, once we strip down to the essence, and this is a stripped down Christmas, right? The essence of it all is what we're talking about. It's about hope. It's about gratitude. It's about family. It's about relationships. And humans are very resilient. We always come back and, as a group. And so just linking it together, if people can slow down and take some time and say, what have I learned? They'll actually, one of the things in doing that will be very positive action, writing down at least 10 things. What have I learned? But that will bring confidence that this too shall pass, as the legend of the ring says. And that once this too passes, I have confidence that I'll be able to find my place in whatever comes next.
Think about, I have confidence that the people most important to my life will be around when I need them. That's, I've always known that, but in some sense, people know that even more now. They might be a little disappointed at who's not around, who has not come alongside them. I get that. But it's exposed a lot of that. We can't have confidence in so many other things, my job, my government, my health, can we come to a place where we're just not so hard on ourselves? you know the phrase, from swim officiating, the swimmer always gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Well, what if we gave ourselves the benefit of the doubt? what if we gave one another the benefit of the doubt this Christmas?
Yeah.
What greater gift could you give? That the words you said, the feelings you expressed, the hurt, whatever it is, could I give you the benefit of the doubt that there's something else going on in your life that you're wrestling with and not take it personally and come alongside you? I think that's what the part of that would be the other phrase of the Christmas story to wrap us up probably is, there's a particular, translation of the scripture that says, God staked out his tent among us and moved into the neighborhood. And that's incarnation. That's coming alongside people. This is the message. And this is the privilege that from my background and my coaching that I get to do with people. So it is very sacred to me that I get to, in that sense, imitate the one in whom I believe.
Wonderful. I will leave that as our last word. It has been a privilege and a pleasure as always, Jeff.
Humbled as always. Thank you.
And may you have a wonderful Christmas. And I do look forward to what's next and to talking to you early in the new year.
You as well. Thanks, friend.
Bye.